Well, we do once again thank our brother for the warm words of welcome, and I'm happy enough if he wants to talk on. It's very interesting what he has to say, but no, the Lord has us here tonight, and we're glad to be with you, and we trust that the Lord will bless as we open up his precious word. We're going to turn tonight to the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 7. First Samuel chapter 7, we're going to break into the chapter and begin at the verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and the verse 7. And God's word says, "And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, 'Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines.' And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, and pursued the Philistines, and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone, and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, 'Hitherto hath the Lord helped us.' So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hand of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord." Amen. We'll end our reading at the end of the chapter. The word of God open, let us bow in a word of prayer. Let us still our hearts briefly before the Lord, and let us ask for his help this evening as we come to his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank thee for yet another opportunity to open up thy precious word. We thank thee, Father, for the great privilege we have to be gathered in such a meeting, to meet around this thy precious truth. And oh God, we pray now that as we spend these closing moments of this, the last Lord's Day service in this year, and Father, we pray that you will shut us in with thyself. Father, we pray that you'll remove all distractions, remove hindrances. O God, we pray that thy word will go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. O God, we pray that you will prepare every heart that is gathered in for the receiving of thy precious truth. O Father, we pray that it will be planted deep within the depths of their hearts and their souls. O God, that it would take root and that it would spring up and that it would bear that fruit in each and every life tonight. Father, we do think of all that are gathered in as the faces differ, so do the need. And O God, we pray that thou would be pleased to come and to meet the need of each and every one, and we'll be careful to give thee all the honour and all the glory, for it's in our Saviour's precious name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm sure that most of you here tonight, if not all, have heard about the great piece of work by Charles Dickens, The Christmas Carol. And if you're familiar with that piece of work, well then you will know very well about the main character that is portrayed in that work, that man, Ebenezer Scrooge. And of course, you will know that Scrooge is portrayed as a man who is heartless, a man who is miserable, a man who is very self-centered. In fact, he's the picture of misery. He's the picture of gloominess. Now, that name, Ebenezer, is not one that perhaps we would come across too often in our modern English language. In fact, the only such occurrence that you may know of is indeed of that man, Ebenezer Scrooge. And so as we come to our portion of Scripture tonight that we've read, and 1 Samuel chapter 7, and specifically the verse 12, you may be surprised there to see that name mentioned, that name Ebenezer. And here we learn that this man Samuel, he takes a stone and he places it as a memorial and he gives a name to that stone, and that name is Ebenezer. And perhaps the sound of that name brings back all the characteristics of that man, Ebenezer Scrooge, but the use of that word here could not be farther from that truth. And what a contrast we have for the true meaning given here to this stone by Samuel. You see, in this portion of Scripture, historically, we read here that there's a decisive battle between the Israelites and the Philistines. And we read how the Lord has delivered his children from that battle, from that danger, from that trouble. And Samuel, as a reminder of the Lord's help, he erects this stone and he gives it the name Ebenezer. And he erects this stone as a reminder of the help of the Lord. And that is what that word Ebenezer means. It means stone of help. And here Samuel, he places this stone as a symbol, as a token, as a reminder of the help of the Lord that he has given. Of course, right up until this point in the whole history of the Israelites, but also in relation to this battle that has just taken place. And verse 12 there, where Samuel names this stone Ebenezer, we read that phrase after saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And this phrase goes on to qualify and to give us a little more detail about the meaning of this word Ebenezer and the reason for the placing of this stone. And you see, rather than the selfishness of man, rather than man's sin and man's weakness and man's failing, rather than the failings of mankind, this stone was placed as a memorial and a reminder of the help of the Lord. And if we're honest tonight, brethren and sisters, how often we need reminded of the help of the Lord, how often we can forget of the Lord's goodness and his mercy and his grace and his help to us, his people. And that's simply what we want to look at this evening. We want to look for the remaining moments about the help of the Lord. And you know, in the will of the Lord, soon this year will draw to a close. And perhaps we will have cause to think over the past year, this year of 2018. And we will look at all that the Lord has done, all that he has accomplished. And we will count up the many blessings that he has bestowed upon us. We will count the help that has been given to us by him, our Lord. And what an appropriate time then it is this evening to consider this great stone of Ebenezer, the stone of help, and the help of our Lord, the God. And we want to see three simple things in relation to this help of the Lord. In the first place, we see the source of the help. Where does this help come from? This help that Samuel is reminding the people of. Who is the source of this very help? Who is it that the child of God is to seek help from? And you may think, well, that's a very simple question. That's something very simple to ask, and it has a very simple answer. And you might wonder, well, what's the value of thinking upon such a thing? But rather, whilst it is a simple point, it is a vital point. And we're to remember that the source of our help, and the source of the help here of the Israelites, it was that of God himself. You see, we live in a day and an age where many are seeking for help in other things. They're seeking for help in the world. They're seeking for help in self. There are many self-help manuals and books. There are many self-help lecturers and teachers. We have self-help gospels such as the prosperity gospel. And men and women, they are turning to these things for help in their times of difficulty, in their times of challenge, in their times of trouble. And unfortunately tonight, it's not only the world, but also those in the church. And God's people, they can turn to these things for help. You see, the moment difficulties come, the moment that burden has to be carried, the moment we face that difficult situation, well, we look to self and we ask, what can I do? How can I remove myself from this situation? What can I do to get out of this difficulty that I am facing? But we're to look here to verse 12. Who's the source of the believer's help? Well, it says, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." The Lord helped us. And of course, you will know when we read the name of the Lord written in capitals there in our authorized version, it means Jehovah. And Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the Creator of all things, He's the source of the help for the child of God in whatever situation we find ourselves. Whatever burden we're carrying, whatever difficulty we have, we're to turn to Him. We're to look away from self, but we're to be driven to our knees to plead for the help of our Heavenly Father. And so who was it that delivered the children of Israel from the Philistines? Well, it wasn't themselves. You see, they didn't have the strength. They didn't have the numbers. They didn't have the ability in and of themselves to deliver themselves from this army of the Philistines. It wasn't Samuel either. Yes, he earnestly pleaded and prayed on behalf of the children of Israel. And he acted as a mediator in petitioning God on their behalf. And yet, despite all this, it was not Samuel that was their help. It was not Samuel that provided the remedy here. And what did the children of Israel say in verse 8? We read there the words towards the end, or in the middle of that verse, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." You see, they came to Samuel. They didn't ask that Samuel would deliver them. They didn't ask that they would deliver themselves, but rather they came knowing that their help was found in God and in God alone. You see, they knew that it was to Him they must look. It was to Him they must turn. They knew that their help was found in God. And you know, brethren and sisters, tonight the Lord God is our help. And we must ever remember in this day and age in which we live, when there's much vying for the attention of the child of God, much out there to distract us, much to cause us to stumble and to falter in our walk, we must remember that the Lord is the source of our help. And it's the Lord to whom we must look. And maybe you're here tonight and you're facing a difficulty. Maybe you're carrying a heavy burden. Maybe you've gone through some severe trial. Well, child of God, I encourage you to look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. May your testimony be that here of Samuel's, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped me." As we face a new year in the work of the Lord, there will be those difficulties that face us. There will be those testing times. There will be those trying days that would lie before us. But let us ever remember that our help comes from the Lord. Let us remember as we seek to serve Him, as we seek to live for Him, that this is the Lord's work. And the door is open for the preaching of the gospel of His word for His sake and for His glory, and because that is the way in which He's ordained it to be, and therefore we look to Him. We look to Him for help, for leading. We look to Him for guidance. You know, the story is told that before the days of modern navigation, that men used to cross the Atlantic in iron vessels. And those vessels would have had two compasses, one that sat before, right in front of the captain, the other that was placed high up upon the mast. And in order to get direction, well, the captain could look at that compass down below, and one of the sailors would have climbed up that mast, and he would have taken a reading from the compass up high. Now, one day a man was traveling across the Atlantic on one of these vessels, and he wondered why there was these two compasses. And he approached the captain, and he asked for the reason why they used these two compasses on the ship. And the captain replied, "Well, this is an iron vessel. And as such, that compass that sits before me, well, it is influenced by what takes place around it. It has interference. And sometimes the reading might not be entirely accurate. And so we have this compass upon the mast. And it is up high, and it is not influenced by the things that take place around us. And we will get accurate guidance and reading from it. And so we look to the compass above for our guiding and for our help." And you know, believer, that's true of us. We ought to look at the compass above. We ought to look at the Lord God for leading, for guiding, as we come to the brow of a new year. As we enter into 2019 in the will of God, we ought to look to Him. Maybe there's one here tonight and you're unsaved. Maybe you're outside of Christ. Maybe as of yet you have not accepted that God is the only source of help for your sin-sick soul. Maybe you feel your need as a sinner. Maybe you're looking for help in the things of the world. Maybe you're looking to self. And yet you've no peace, you've no satisfaction. But friends, you may look to God, to Him alone, for He is the source of help for your sin-sick soul. And there's nothing that the world can do for you. There's nothing that self can do for you. You must look to Him. He is the source, the true source of help. And not only do we see the source of the help, but we see the scope of the help. The scope of the help. They understand the scope of the help. We want to look at that word there, hitherto. And that's a word perhaps we don't come across too often, again, in our English language, that word hitherto. And there are two aspects of this word that we want to leave with you tonight. Firstly, this word means as far as or until. As far as or until. And so we could render the verse in 1 Samuel 7:12 as reading something like, "The Lord has helped us thus far." And really what Samuel is saying here is up until this point in time, up until this very present moment, the Lord has been our help. And the Lord has been our shield, and He's been our guide, and He's been our deliverer. This is further emphasized in the fact that Samuel here, he's raising a memorial in this place. Verse 12 reminds us that he took a stone, and he set it there between Mizpah and Shen. And this stone was to be a fixed reminder to the people and to Samuel himself of the help of the Lord that had been given up until this present time. Bearing in mind that just before these verses, this verse that Israel had the victory over the Philistines, and God had delivered them from their enemy. And so Samuel is saying, up until this present time, the Lord has preserved us and kept us. And you know, child of God, tonight it's important that we look back over the past year. It's important that we reflect as God's children, and we look back over this year and we think of what the Lord has done. And we reflect upon His goodness and His grace and His mercy and His help up until this point in time. And what greater a gift has He given us than that of His Son? That of the great work of salvation. And child of God, tonight we ought to place this stone metaphorically in our lives as a memorial, as a reminder of the goodness of God and the help that He has given in our lives. Nonetheless than that, picking us up out of the dunghill of our sin and setting us on that rock, Christ Jesus. Clothing us in the righteousness of Christ. That day and hour that He saved us from our sin, us wretched creatures deserving of nothing but the darkest, deepest part of hell, and yet He's redeemed us by His grace. What goodness, and what mercy, and how we can look back at what the Lord has done for us. But you know, not only does this word have the meaning of being until, or as far as, but it has a secondary meaning. You see, it can mean eternity or forever. And that's exactly the way it's translated in Genesis 13, and the verse 15, it says, "Therefore all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." And that same word that is translated there, forever, is translated as hitherto here in 1 Samuel 7:12. You see, not only is Samuel placing this stone to remind the people of all that God has done until this point, but he's placing this stone as a reminder of what God will yet do. And he places this stone with expectation and with confidence that the Lord will be their help in the days that lie ahead. Just as he has helped them up until this present moment, he will be their source of help in the days that are yet to come. And you see, Samuel knew that this wasn't the end of the Lord's help. Samuel knew that the Lord had not finished with his people. He knew that this was not the end for them to be recipients of the help of God, but Samuel knew here that there was more to come. He knew that Almighty God, that never-changing one, he would continue to be their source of help. Now, there would be difficulties that would lie ahead. There would be circumstances that they would face that would seem to be unbearable. They could not overcome by themselves, and yet Samuel knew that the Lord would be their help. And not only was he reminding the people here that, yes, over the past days, God has been their help, but in the future, God will also be our help.
And child of God, what a reminder that is for us tonight. How we can look over the past days and we can say how the Lord has helped us. How he has been our guide. How he has been our deliverer. But it doesn't end there, for this very truth gives us hope. That we can look in the year that is to come in the will of God and we can be expectant of the Lord's help. We can be hopeful. We can be assured that the Lord will be our guide and our deliverer just as he has been in the past. We're reminded of that verse in Hebrews, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Despite our changes, he will never change. And his help for his children will never change. And so we can look to him as we have in the days gone by. We can look to him in the future as the source of our help. So here's the scope of the help. It is not just for past, present, but it's also for the future. In the last place, not only do we have the source of the help, the scope of the help, but we see here the subjects of this help. Who is it that receives the help of the Lord? Who are the recipients here in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and the verse 12? Well, our text says there in verse 12, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And the us on this occasion, it signifies the children of Israel. And if we read earlier on in this chapter 7 of 1 Samuel, well, we see that this was a nation that was in open rebellion. It was a nation that had left its first love, and they were open to idolatry and to other man-made gods, and their love for God had waxed cold and it had waned. And they were far from him. But then we go on to read of repentance, true repentance. And so who is it then that the Lord helped? Well, simply it's repentant sinners. Here was a people and they were repenting over their sin. And they grieved the Lord and they knew that they had grieved him, but we read that they were repentant. And the Lord sends his help to them. And child of God, tonight, how that ought to humble our souls. But yet how it ought to encourage us and thrill us. But the source, the subjects of this great help of God, it is repentant sinners. Sinners that have been redeemed by his precious blood. Sinners that are undeserving of his grace and his mercy, and yet he bestows it freely upon us. The Apostle Paul, writing in Romans 8, verses 16 to 17, he says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and of children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." And believers, tonight we stand as joint heirs of Christ. I wonder if you ever thought about that. Joint heirs with the Savior, the very Son of God. The recipients of his grace and his mercy and his goodness. The beneficiaries of his help and his deliverance and his sustaining power. And what a thought tonight that we wretched, vile sinners would be the source of the subjects of such help. We will be on the receiving end of such grace and such mercies. What a tremendous thing it is to think upon such a truth. Here is the great help of the Lord. For it is the Lord's help. We've seen that in the source. It is to the Lord who we look. We're reminded that we're to look to Jesus Christ, the author, the finisher of our faith. And it's to him we look for the year that is yet to come, and what a great privilege it is to be the subjects of such a help. And so I trust that as we end this 2018, that we can look back at the help of the Lord. And that as a congregation here, you can look at the times of great rejoicing and at times of refreshing that you've had in the house of the Lord. And yes, you can look back at the times of difficulty. And there has been difficulty, and there's been trials, and there's been burdens that have been carried, but you can look back and you can see the sustaining help of God. And that great truth can carry us through into the new year, thinking expectantly of the great help of the Lord that is to come. Looking to him, raising our Ebenezer, crying out, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And maybe you're here tonight, and as we said earlier, outside of Christ. You need to acknowledge God as your only source of help. Friends, without him tonight, you're lost, you're hopeless, you're helpless. You're heading to that lost eternity in hell. But we thank God tonight that the gospel reveals Christ, reveals the Savior, reveals the helper of the sin-sick soul. And if you turn to him tonight, and you come to his feet confessing your sin and accepting him as your Savior, then you can receive this great source of help. And you can be the subject of his grace and of his salvation. What a way to end this year if you were to get your soul right with him. And we trust and pray for the Savior's sake that that would be true in your heart and in your soul for his glory and for his sake. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Just call it.